Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. Today, I'll be ending the series of programs on the five major eye diseases. In the past 4 weeks, you've heard about cataracts, diabetes-related eye diseases, refractive problems, and macular degeneration. Today, it's on to number five, glaucoma. You'll hear all the basic information about the disease, as well as information from the Glaucoma Research Foundation. Well, a good place to start is with the question, what is glaucoma? This comes from a website called WebMD.com. Glaucoma is a condition that causes damage to your eye's optic nerve, and glaucoma gets worse over time. It's often linked to a buildup of pressure inside your eye. Glaucoma tends to be inherited and may not show up until later in life. The increased pressure, which is called intraocular pressure, this increased pressure can damage the optic nerve, which transmits images to your brain. If this damage continues, glaucoma can lead to permanent vision loss. Without treatment, glaucoma can cause total permanent blindness within a few years. Most people with glaucoma have no early symptoms or pain. You need to see your eye doctor regularly so he or she can diagnose and treat glaucoma before long-term visual loss actually happens. If you're over the age of 40 and have a family history of the disease, you should get a complete eye exam from an eye doctor every 1 or 2 years. It's over the age of 40. If you have health problems like diabetes or a family history of glaucoma or are at risk for other eye diseases, you may need to go to your eye doctor more often. The next question that they answer, what causes glaucoma? Glaucoma is the result of high fluid pressure inside your eye. This happens when the liquid in the front part of the eye does not circulate the way it should. Normally, the fluid, which is called aqueous humor, flows out of your eye through a mesh-like channel. If this channel gets blocked, the liquid builds up, and that's what causes glaucoma. The reason for the blockage is unknown, but doctors do know that it can be inherited. This means that it's passed on from parents to children. Less common causes include a blunt or chemical injury to your eye, a severe eye infection, a blocked blood vessel inside the eye, or inflammatory conditions. These can cause glaucoma. It's rare, but sometimes even eye surgery to correct another condition can bring it on. Glaucoma usually affects both eyes, but it may be worse in one than the other. What are the types of glaucoma? There are two main kinds of glaucoma, open angle and angle closure. Open angle glaucoma is the most common type. Your doctor may also call it wide angle glaucoma. The drain structure in your eye, this is called the trabecular meshwork, the drain structure looks normal, but fluid doesn't flow out like it should. The next main type is called angle closure glaucoma. This is less common in the West than in Asia. You may also hear it called acute or chronic angle closure or even narrow angle glaucoma. Your eye doesn't drain right because the angle between your iris and the cornea is too narrow. In other words, your iris is in the way. This can cause a sudden buildup of pressure within your eye. It's also linked to farsightedness and cataracts, which are a clouding of the lens inside your eye. Who gets glaucoma? It mostly affects adults over the age of 40, but young adults, children, and even infants can have it. African Americans tend to get it more often when they're younger and with greater vision loss. You are more likely to get glaucoma if you are of African American, Irish, Russian, Japanese, Hispanic, Inuit, or Scandinavian descent. You're more likely to get it if you're over 40, if you have a family history of glaucoma, if you have poor vision, if you have diabetes, or even if you take certain steroid medications like prednisone, you are more likely to get glaucoma. It also becomes more likely if you have had any trauma to to your eye or your eyes. What are the symptoms? Well, easily answered, most people don't have any. The first sign is often a loss of your peripheral or your side vision. That can go unnoticed until late in the disease. That's why glaucoma is often called the sneak thief of vision. Detecting glaucoma early is one reason you should have a complete exam with an eye specialist every 1 to 2 years. Occasionally, pressure inside the eye can rise to severe levels. In these cases, you may have sudden eye pain, headache, blurred vision, or even the appearance of halos around lights. So if you have any of the following symptoms, seek immediate medical care. And remember, immediate means immediate, not next week or not next month or not at your next regular appointment. If you have any of the following symptoms, seek immediate care: seeing halos around lights, vision loss, redness in the eye, eyes that look hazy. This is particularly true for infants. If you're experiencing nausea or vomiting, if you have eye pain, if you have narrowed vision or tunnel vision. How is it diagnosed? Your eye doctor will use drops to open your pupils. This is called dilate the pupils. Then he'll test your vision and examine your eyes. He'll check your optic nerve, and if you have glaucoma, it will look a certain way. He may take photographs of that nerve to help him track your disease over time. He'll do a test called tonometry to check your eye pressure. He'll also do a visual field test, if necessary, to figure out if you have already lost your side vision, your peripheral vision. Glaucoma tests are painless and take very little time. How is glaucoma treated? Your doctor may use prescription eye drops, laser surgery, or microsurgery. Those are the three ways glaucoma is treated. First of all, eye drops. These either reduce the formation of fluid in the eye, or they can increase its outflow. Side effects may include allergies, redness, stinging, blurred vision, and irritated eyes with the medication. Some glaucoma drugs may affect your heart and lungs, so be sure you tell your doctor about any other medications you're taking or that you're allergic to. The second way of treating glaucoma would be laser surgery. This procedure can slightly increase the flow of the fluid from the eye. For people with open-angle glaucoma, it can stop the blockage of fluid if you have angle closure glaucoma. Procedures include three. First one's called trabeculoplasty, which opens the drainage area. Second kind of laser surgery is iridotomy. In that, they make a tiny hole in the iris to let the fluid flow out more freely. And then there's one called cyclophotocoagulation. In this laser surgery, it treats the areas of the middle layer of your eye in order to reduce the fluid production. The last way that glaucoma can be treated is with microsurgery. This is a procedure called trabeculectomy. The last one was called trabeculoplasty, which is laser surgery. This one's microsurgery, trabeculectomy. The doctor creates a new channel to drain the fluid and ease your eye pressure. Sometimes this form of glaucoma surgery will fail and has to be redone. Your doctor might implant a tube to help drain the fluid. Surgery can cause temporary or permanent vision loss, as well as bleeding or infection. Open-angle glaucoma is most often treated with various combinations of eye drops, laser trabeculoplasty, and microsurgery. Doctors in the U.S. tend to start with medications, but there is evidence that early laser surgery or microsurgery could work better for some people. Infant or congenital glaucoma, meaning that you're born with it, is primarily treated with surgery because the cause of the problem is a very distorted drainage system. Good advice all the time. Talk to your eye doctor to find out which glaucoma treatment is right for you. Next, can you prevent glaucoma? The answer is no. But if you diagnose and treat it early, you can control the disease. Next and final question from this article from WebMD, what is the outlook? At this time, lost vision cannot be restored. However, lowering eye pressure can help preserve the sight you have. Most people with glaucoma who follow their treatment plan and have regular eye exams do not go blind. Next, we'll switch to some information from the Gleams magazine, Glaucoma Research Foundation. The first article is titled, New Medical Therapies for Glaucoma. It was written by Dr. Paul Kaufman. The only current treatment for glaucoma is to lower intraocular pressure, IOP, which can be achieved with eye drops, laser, or incisional surgery. Those are the three things that we just talked about. Eye drops are the most common treatment modality, and over time, patients may need to take multiple types of eye drops in order to stop progression of a disease that typically has no symptoms. These drops lower the intraocular pressure by reducing fluid formation or encouraging better drainage of fluid from the eye. The fluid can drain in one of two ways. The first one is called the trabecular meshwork. This is also sometimes called the Schlemm's canal. It's abbreviated TMSC. We'll call it, for our purposes, the trabecular meshwork. And the other method of draining fluid from the eye is called the uveoscleral pathway. Currently in the U.S., there are five families of eye drops that are used to lower the intraocular pressure. In the near future, new compounds that reduce the IOP may become available, and this article provides an overview of glaucoma medications that are, quote-unquote, in the pipeline. These new compounds are often combined with a prostaglandin compound, which is a currently available class of medication. These are combined in the same bottle, or in the compound itself has a prostaglandin backbone, they call it, such that IOP is lowered via multiple mechanisms while maintaining a convenient once-daily dosing. One new compound nearing commercial availability is called latanoprostene bunod. And that's, I better spell that for you, latanoprostene. Another word, bunod. That's lanoprostene bunod. It's abbreviated LBN. Well, this LBN, this new drug, reduces the IOP by enhancing fluid outflow through both the trabecular network, through the trabecular meshwork and through the uveoscleral pathways. This new drug, LBN, has two components, a prostaglandin, which is called latanoprost, and this reduces the IOP by increasing uveoscleral outflow. The drug also contains a nitric oxide donating component that enhances drainage via the trabecular meshwork. Once daily, LBN, the drug, performed well in clinical trials showing superiority to both twice-a-day timolol and once-daily latanoprost. The most common side effect was a mild redness of the eyes. Next, we have a drug called Ropressa. It's spelled R-H-O-P-R-E-S-S-A, which is generically called Netarsudil. This is another once-daily molecule with two mechanisms of action and two targets. Ropressa targets the rokinase, or the ROCK, and a norepinephrine transporter. Inhibiting ROCK, this is the rokinase, can enhance fluid outflow through the conventional pathway. The second target, the norepinephrine transporter, reduces the production of fluid in the eye. This compound was as effective as twice-a-day timolol in a clinical trial. The most common side effect was mild redness of the eyes. This was about Ropressa, a new drug. Next, we have a combination product called Roclatin. This is a once-daily combination of Netarsudil plus latanoprost. Thus, the product potentially acts on both the outflow pathways, and it also reduces production of the fluid in the eye. Results from clinical trials for these products should be available later in 2017. Another compound in clinical trials is called trabodenosin, Strabo Denison, which is thought to work by opening the conventional outflow pathway through the trabecular meshwork by a unique mechanism. In addition, Strabo Denison has been combined with a latanoprost to further improve the drainage of fluid from the eye. Trials of this combination are also moving forward. The goal of glaucoma treatment is to maintain functional vision throughout a person's lifetime. Novel medications with convenient once-a-day dosing and multiple complementary mechanisms will be a welcome addition to the treatment options for glaucoma. The early trials for these are very encouraging, and if these early results prove to be reproducible, some of these agents may be available to help glaucoma patients in the near future. This article from the Glaucoma Research Foundation was written by Dr. Paul Kaufman. He is professor of ocular pharmacology. He's the immediate past chairman of the Department of Ophthalmology at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He has authored hundreds of original scientific articles and book chapters, and he's received numerous honors and awards. Next, we come to a section called Spotlight on Research. First of all, before I start this article, I better define the term biomarkers. It's written as one word, biomarkers, and if you don't know what it means, it's actually a combination of the two words, biological marker. And a simplified version that's the best I can do is it's called a measurable indicator of a disease or condition, a biomarker or a biological marker. So this article, the headline reads, Glaucoma Biomarkers from Laboratory to the Clinic. During the past year, the Catalyst for a Cure researchers have been taking necessary steps to move their studies from the laboratory to the clinic. This will be an exciting and important next step to further test and evaluate a new glaucoma biomarker. Based on progress among the various laboratories and their collaborators, the Catalyst for a Cure, the research team, has narrowed their focus on three potential biomarkers. In addition, they are developing a new type of imaging test with the goal of isolating changes in the retinal ganglion cells that are the first ones affected in glaucoma. Based on their success to date in models of glaucoma, the researchers are making significant steps toward moving into human testing and validation of a biomarker for clinical use. The next section is titled, Why We Need New Biomarkers for Glaucoma. New sensitive and specific glaucoma biomarkers promise to provide eye doctors with better techniques to diagnose and treat glaucoma. Earlier detection is the key to preventing vision loss from glaucoma. The CFC researchers have been testing various hypotheses to develop a biomarker that eye doctors can use to identify glaucoma at a much earlier stage in its progression than the current detection methods. Biomarkers also promise to help doctors target each patient's treatment much more effectively. New biomarkers can also lead to faster drug discovery. An effective biomarker could demonstrate the efficacy of a new drug much more quickly and accelerate the federal approval process for novel treatments. A new biomarker could open the door to development of many innovative therapies to help patients preserve their vision. The next section sums up the article, Catalyst for a Cure, a unique collaboration. The CFC, the Catalyst for a Cure research team, consists of neurobiologists, glaucoma specialists, and optical imaging engineers, who each bring a fresh and unique perspective to the collaborative study. The combined effect of their efforts allows the team to do experiments that no one lab would be able to do on their own, allowing for potentially transformative research advances. The study of biomarkers promises to bring us closer to a cure as scientists discover more about the root causes of the disease. Thanks to the dedication of the Catalyst for a Cure researchers and their advisors, as well as the ongoing generosity of our donors, this transformational research can continue. This article about glaucoma biomarkers is accompanied by a picture of four of the Catalyst for a Cure investigators, and I'll read their names. They're all PhDs and MDs. Alfred Dubray, Andrew Huberman, Jeffrey Goldberg, and Vivek Srinivasan. These are researchers at the Catalyst for a Cure. This is an organization that's sponsored by the Glaucoma Research Foundation. Next, an article titled Pigmentary Glaucoma, something I hadn't heard about. Pigmentary Glaucoma, Answers to Your Questions. This was written by Dr. Nanita Helen Brown. What are pigment dispersion syndrome and pigmentary glaucoma? Pigment dispersion syndrome is a condition where pigment from the back of the iris, the colored part of the eye, is released and becomes trapped in the drainage system of the eye. The pigment could block the drain, which could, in turn, lead to an increase in eye pressure. The features of pigment dispersion syndrome, such as excessive pigment in the drain and areas of pigment loss from the iris, can be detected during an eye examination. Pigment dispersion syndrome is more common in young Caucasian male patients who are nearsighted. The eye pressure can significantly increase during exercise, but usually returns to normal. These eye pressure spikes may cause symptoms such as blurry vision and rainbow-colored halos around lights. As patients age, there is less pigment dispersion, but the patient can still be at risk for developing glaucoma. Next section, how does pigment dispersion syndrome cause glaucoma? Pigment dispersion syndrome can lead to permanent damage to the drain and elevated eye pressure, too. Over time, the elevated eye pressure can damage the optic nerve, causing pigmentary glaucoma. Untreated glaucoma can lead to vision loss and eventually to blindness. How can doctors treat pigmentary glaucoma? The treatment of pigmentary glaucoma involves lowering the eye pressure using medications, lasers, or surgery. Unfortunately, it is difficult to reduce or eliminate the release of the pigment from the iris. Therefore, attention is focused on reducing eye pressure. Eye pressure lowering medications cause either a decrease in fluid into the eye or an increase of fluid out of the eye. Depending on the severity of the disease, surgery can range from laser treatment or as an outpatient. Laser treatment is as an outpatient, all the way to incisional surgery in the operating room. The takeaway from this article, she says, pigment dispersion syndrome is a risk factor for developing glaucoma, and patients who have this condition should be monitored regularly. Patients with pigmentary glaucoma can be treated successfully. Thankfully, with modern treatment, many patients are able to maintain excellent vision. So this article was written by Nanita Helen Brown, who's a medical doctor and a PhD. She's a glaucoma specialist at Metrolina Eye Associates in North Carolina. She is board certified in ophthalmology and a member of the American Academy of Ophthalmology. The next article is Glaucoma Risk Increases in Families. Spread the Word. This was written by Constance O. Okeke. She's a doctor. She's also a medical doctor. One way to reduce vision loss from glaucoma is to make sure your family members understand that they are at increased risk if you have glaucoma. Glaucoma is a worldwide problem that can lead to blindness. It is especially problematic because there are often no symptoms in its early stages. It's estimated that up to 50% of people with glaucoma don't realize they have it. Numerous population-based studies have demonstrated that one of the greatest risk factors for glaucoma is a family history of the disease. That means that one of the most important things you can do is to talk about glaucoma with your family and encourage them to take steps to preserve their vision. When your family is visiting or at family gatherings, talk about glaucoma and encourage your family members to have their eyes checked by getting a comprehensive eye exam. It can make a real difference. Glaucoma may have no symptoms at first, but the earlier glaucoma is caught, the easier it is to treat. Encouraging family members to get checked is a way to make sure they don't lose vision, because once they do, they cannot get it back. Genetic studies have suggested that more than 50% of glaucoma is familial. It is very strongly hereditary, especially among siblings. The rate of glaucoma can be 10 times higher among individuals with a sibling who has glaucoma. It's likely that at least 15% of glaucoma patients have at least one sibling who has glaucoma, and that individual may be totally unaware of the disease. But remember, anyone who is a blood relative is at increased risk. Make sure family members get screened. When you share your health information with family members, letting them know that you have glaucoma and that they may be at risk, you are potentially giving them the gift of sight, even if it feels like a burden to bring it up at the time. Family gatherings are a good opportunity not only to spread the word, but to get valuable family health history information when multiple family members are present and can contribute to the family knowledge. So please join me and make a commitment to reach out to your family members and encourage them to get screened. I'm already working with a number of individuals and organizations to further this cause. If a significant portion of patients and eye care professionals also make a commitment, we can have a major impact on reducing the number of individuals with undiagnosed glaucoma. The article was written by Dr. Constance Okeke, and she's Assistant Professor of Ophthalmology at the Eastern Virginia Medical School in Norfolk, Virginia. She's a glaucoma specialist, a cataract surgeon at the Virginia Eye Consultants. If you need contact information about glaucoma, the Glaucoma Research Foundation has a toll-free number, 1-800-826-6693. Their website is www.glaucoma.org. There's also a good section on the American Academy of Ophthalmologists, AAO.org. Well, over the last 5 weeks, you have heard about the five major eye diseases. So to end this series, I have a quote about the five W's of life: who, what, when, where, and why. This came from Douglas Chan. Who is the first one. Who you are is what makes you special. Don't change for anyone. What lies ahead will always be a mystery. Do not be afraid to explore. When life pushes you over, push back harder. Where there is a choice to be made, make the one you won't regret. Why things happen will never be certain. Take it in stride and move forward. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.